Morning.
Morning.
Great to see all you folks here on this beautiful Sunday morning. And we even got some rain this week. Unbelievable. The lawns are even starting to green up. I think I mowed mine for the first time in a month. We'll start out this morning with prayer concerns and thanksgivings. Has anyone out there got any prayer concerns or thanksgivings they'd like to announce this morning?
Just read them off the card. Go ahead and read those that you have.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them here. So I guess that's how we do this now, right?
Oh, correct.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, we certainly want to keep our friend Bob back there in our prayers. Bob, good to see you here this morning. And we were in all our prayers. I can tell you that for sure. We also got an announcement here. Bo Stephen Bowerman, born to Abby and Zach Carter Thursday.
Yay.
So got...
Yes.
We are also asking prayers for Barbara Larson. Barbara is having a procedure on Monday. And prayers for the family of Patricia Callahan and Douglas Nelson, who's lost members of their families. And I have an announcement here for the Sunday school children. Sunday school children will be in the parking lot at 12 noon today to explode the volcanoes they have been working on for the past 3 weeks. Better stand back from that one. As the pastor said, it is not what's on the outside that counts, but the good that's on the inside. The red lava represents the love that Jesus has for all of us. Please come and view their masterpiece volcanoes and encourage their participation. So right after church in the parking lot, but don't get the red stuff all over you. And remind all men, young men and boys, that next Sunday, August 19th, is men's club meeting here at the church starting at 8 a.m. Please come and join us for breakfast. If you have any questions, contact Ron Payne. So I guess that pretty much takes care of that.
I have one other announcement, too.
Yes.
I know that some of you are despising the name tags, but I've only been here a month, and I'm getting great response. I want you to know that. I'm getting great response from others that have said, you know, we really appreciate it because we don't know everybody in church or have forgotten their name, or maybe they're starting to get a little dementia, and so they're grateful that you are wearing name tags, so we're going to be wearing name tags. And it may get to a point, we'll take it to finance, that we wear permanent ones. So please help Jim and I. I'm getting to know some of you, and I do know who you are. But I also know on Communion Sundays when you come up, and I will be serving you communion, and I will forget your name, and I know you. So help me not to be embarrassed that I really do try to get, I can put that name and that face together. So hang in there with me. Wear your name tags. I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. So our praise course this morning is number 2102.
Oh, do we have any birthdays or anniversaries?
Oh, I forgot that.
Okay. That's okay. That's all right. I'm just going to keep him on his toes this morning because I think we have somebody over here that's excited. Yeah, a birthday? Bristol's going to turn 5. That's pretty exciting. Any others?
Back here.
Who's being quiet? You have an anniversary? Birthdays.
Birthday.
Okay. All right. Okay. I love it. So we're going to do birthdays first, and then we'll do an anniversary. Anybody else? Let's celebrate. Yay, yay. Congratulations.
I can't believe she stayed with you that long.
I'm over 42.
Okay. Did we miss anybody? Okay. We'll move on to the praise chorus. Page 2108, or however you want to count it, in the black book.
Please stand as able.
Our call to worship this morning, I would ask you to please respond with the bold letter. From the depths of our spirit, we call to you, Lord.
Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my call for help.
If you kept a record of our sins, who could escape being condemned? Please stay standing and sing hymn 399, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Thank you.
may be seated, and I'm going to invite children to come on up. Come join me up here. It's good to see all of you. Come on up, Claire. You waiting for your brother? All right. Come on, Mason. You can come up here. You know me. That's great. Come on up. Boy, it's good to see a good crowd. How's everybody? Doing good? Now, were you one of those children that have made volcanoes downstairs? No? Some of you? You have? Well, I think that's pretty exciting that we're going to go outside at noon and watch those volcanoes go off, right? What does a volcano do? It explodes. What comes out of it? What? Lava, that's what it's called. I hear we got to be careful of that red stuff not to get on us, right? Right? So we don't want that red lava on us. But you want to go out and see it, don't you? Yeah. So I see three girls that have a new baby in the family. That is your cousin. Make sure I said that right. And his name is Bo. And I saw pictures of you holding Bo. How is that? Kind of excited about Bo being here? I bet Carter's excited about Bo being here, right? It's always wonderful to have a newborn babe in the family, isn't it? Remember when brothers or sisters were born? Maybe, maybe not. Yeah? Yeah, remember when your brother was born? Probably not, because you were a twin. That's all right. That's good. Well, this morning we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. We know who Jesus is. In our scripture, we're going to talk about God and Jesus. That's always a good answer to any question you have. Oh, yeah, it's God. It's Jesus, right? Because that's who we come and we worship and we learn about here at Sandusky First. Well, today, Paul is going to talk about words that Jesus said, how we are to live. And he tells us some ways we are and some ways we're not to live. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you need to say yes or no. Are we supposed to lie? No. Are we supposed to steal? No. Are we supposed to get angry? But you know what? God, in our scripture this morning, doesn't tell us we shouldn't be angry. He says we shouldn't stay angry. But did you know Jesus and God got angry? Did you know that? But really, the answer is we probably shouldn't just be angry, right? So you're right. But sometimes we do get angry. Are we supposed to hate our brothers and sisters? No. You know, not everybody responded to that. Let's try that one again. Are we supposed to hate brothers or sisters? No, not at all. Okay, so these are things that you probably should answer yes to. Are we to follow mom and dad's? Yeah. Are we supposed to clean our rooms? Yeah. Are we supposed to be nice to each other? Are we supposed to be kind to one another? Yes. So can you see the difference of things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do? Right? You guys know this. Do we always do it? No, you're absolutely right, Adeline. Sometimes we don't always do it. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so that we could go to him and say, what do you think we say when we do something wrong? Sorry. I'm sorry. Very good, Grady. I'm sorry. So when we say I'm sorry, do you know that God and Jesus Christ forgive you? Do you know we should forgive one another as well? So if you do something to your brother or sister, or mom and dad, or even a friend, you can say, and you should say, I'm sorry. And if they do something wrong to you and they say you're sorry, you can say, I forgive you. Can you guys do that? Can you do right from wrong? No? Well, Bryson, at least you're honest. I appreciate that. How about the rest of you? Can we try to do right from wrong? Yes. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for your children of all ages. We thank you that you give us the directions of how we should live our life, right from wrong. and help us to be faithful and obedient to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so here's some bulletins for you guys. Give that to your brother, too. All right. And can you pass those around over here? There's one for you. There you go. Bristol, happy birthday. There you go. There you go. Does everybody have one? Do you got yours? Okay. You can go downstairs now. All right. Go ahead and go on down. There you go. This morning, we have a presentation of scholarships, and Mr. Ivan is going to come and do that, aren't you? Oh, no, that is Verge. Verge is going to come. I'm sorry. I knew that. Verge is going to come up and present a couple scholarship checks. Thank you, Verge.
It's my privilege on behalf of the Endowment Committee and the church as a whole to present a couple of checks here to kids that are going to college. They put in for it. They put in for the scholarships and did receive them. Before I do that, though, I want to address the congregation as a whole. The endowment fund is completely separate from the church's operating fund. Many people think that, well, if we run short of money, we'll just go get some out of the endowment fund. We can pay our bills that way. It can't be done that way. Our bylaws don't allow it. We have to independently support our operating fund. It can't come out of this endowment fund. Now, having said that, there are instances where we can spend the interest that has been earned from the gifts that have been given to us throughout the years that are earning interest, and we're willing to do that. And there's a procedure that we have to go through in order to do that. I've talked to a couple of our members. Bob Downing and Ron Payne are also on the committee with me, and we answer to the trustees. We're going to try to take a look at, in addition to giving young people a little head start in life by going to the universities, which is great, those that want to choose to go into a school that teaches trades, which we need very much. You know, we have to have carpenters, we have to have electricians, we have to have plumbers. We thought we would give them the same opportunity. So if you have any input on that, please get a hold of Bob or I or Ron, if you see him. And having said that, it's my pleasure now to call up our two awardees, Cherokee Johnson.
Congratulations.
Here we are. It's not much, but it helps.
It helps.
Okay.
It helps.
We've been blessed to get this lady here, young lady here. She has a lot of talent, and she's very vibrant. You put joy in our church. Thank you for
Thank
what you.
You
do. The other man, young man is has been known to us since he was just a little guy, and his folks have been bringing him here. Ryan Campbell.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Ryan's going to Michigan State. Go green and white, right?
Yes, yes.
All right. I know there's some booze out there. I forgot to mention that Cherokee's going to Saginaw Valley. Ryan?
Thank you.
Not a lot, but it helps.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We're going to get a picture of them, and that'd be great. Oh, you want me in there, too? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And just to let you guys know, you can go ahead and go back and have a seat. Thank you, Verge, for your
Yep.
presentation. Today, we are going to gather the college-age students at probably around 12:15, since we're going out to see volcanoes, and the pizza won't get here till about that time. But I'm having pizza with them. So if you are college-age and you weren't invited, come and stay, because we will be having conversation as before they get away, and a prayer with them as before they go off to school. So, Ivan, it's up to you. All right.
I'm a little taller than Verge. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. The word of God for the people of God. We will now move on. Hymn 405, Seek Ye First. Please stand for this.
Seated. Let us now have a time to go to our Lord in prayer and conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you this day to worship and praise your name, remembering the joy of the newborn, praying that as Bo is here, that he will grow up to be strong and healthy and come to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the life of all of us, that each day that we can praise your name, that you've given us another day. And in the midst of life, we also know there is death. And so we lift up those, Lord, who have passed on into your heavenly kingdom, praying for their families to have peace and comfort, to remember their loved ones, and as they mourn, that you will hold them in the palm of your hand. Help them to go through this season of life with hope, with strength, and with your love, Lord. And as a church, as we celebrate with our college students, those that have received scholarships and those that are all getting ready to go on to school, we pray, Lord, that you will guide and lead them, that they will continue to seek you out, as we just sang, to seek for guidance, to seek how their behavior should be, to seek how to pass a test, to seek the joy in their life and relationships that they will build. And for we ask that you put that hedge of protection around them as they travel and as they come home, that you will support them and love them and keep them safe. Lord God, as this summer continues on, we pray for our church. We not only pray for its people and its leaders, but we can pray, Lord, that each one of us will draw closer to you, living our life to be holy and pure, to be in right standing with you, and that we can follow and be obedient and faithful unto you, Lord. So guide and lead us and lead our leaders, that we can show the way to your people. Lord, we give you this day. We ask that you bless it, and we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we have special music by Catherine Phillips this morning. Welcome, Catherine.
The song I'm going to do today is called Somebody Bigger Than You and I. Who made the mountains? Who made the tree? Who made the river flow to the sea? Song for the robin to sing, and who sends us rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the word is long, keeps you Thank you, Catherine. We appreciate your music. This morning, we turn into our New Testament, to chapter of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25 to verse 5-2. Hear these words. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with any and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. Now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. For those of you that were with us last week, Paul was talking about how we could build our life in unity with one another. And so today he was going on in that same chapter, chapter 4, to tell us how we can do that. And you heard with the children some things that we are supposed to do and things that we are not supposed to do. So he talks about speaking the truth. All of us know that, right? We're to speak the truth. Secondly, we're to be angry without sinning. And in the commentaries, it was very clear here. It doesn't talk about us not getting angry. In fact, as I was thinking of this, I remember that Jesus turned over the tables in the synagogue. He got angry because they were selling animals in a place of worship. God got angry in the New Old Testament. It does not say in this scripture, don't get angry. What it says is, in your anger, do not sin. So how do we do, how do we get angry and not sin, right? That was my first question as I was reading this. And what they're talking about is, if you get angry, it's okay, but deal with it. And deal with it right then. Or as close as possible. If you're like me, sometimes I get angry, and if I dealt with it right then, you wouldn't want to be on the other end of it. I need time to little cool off, think about it, be able to put my words in the right direction so that I can speak. But it also says here, and we've heard this probably from our parents or from generations before us, do not let the sun go down, or do not go to bed angry. Have you heard that before? Do not go to bed angry, especially with a spouse, okay? Do not let the sun go down on any of us if we're angry. So, yes, the kids answered right. We shouldn't get angry, right? But we're going to probably get angry sometime in our lifetime because we're human beings. How do we handle that? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let it keep going. And our scripture also talks about the reason a devil can get in. Do not give that devil a foothold, it says, is because when we get angry and we seethe on it for a while and we continue to seethe on it, that allows an opportunity for the devil to come in and create it even bigger than what it was. So if we deal with it, with it's a small thing, hopefully it won't come to a large crisis because we're dealing with it little by little to get it taken care of so it's not a huge problem. Unfortunately, in our world, there is Satan. There is a devil who is always trying to tempt. And he's not tempting the people that are out there that aren't believers. He's tempting us who are believers because he wants us to pull away from God. Oh, just let that anger seethe. And he just works it away and he gets at you a little bit at a time. And we've got to remember, and we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, there is hell and damnation. Let's make it perfectly clear. There are angels, and there is heaven, and there are devil, and there's hell. And we don't want the devil to creep into our lives and take over. So Paul is giving directions to the Ephesians, but it also applies to us today.
Be angry without sinning. Don't let it go. Work honestly. Share with the needy. Build one another and give grace. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another and live in love. 8 lessons that Paul is telling us that should be common sense. We all know these things. But sometimes as human beings, we get so busy, we get so wrapped up in whatever we're doing or whatever the problem may be, that we forget what we're actually supposed to be acting like as Christians. One of the things that we all should be doing is to live life in the present. If you're like me too, sometimes my mind goes to the past. Ever been there? And that I'd love to have a button on my head or my brain that I could just push and go, stop. I don't want to think about that anymore. You've been there with me? You just want to stop it. Well, you know, that is part of Satan working in us. Oh, don't you remember when you did this wrong? Well, I already said I'm sorry. I already asked God for forgiveness. God's already forgot it, but I don't let it go. We need to make sure we live in the present. We can't do anything about what we've done in the past. It's like looking in the mirror in your car to look backwards. And if you keep looking in the mirror going backwards, what's going to happen to you in your car? You're going to crash because you weren't looking forward. We have to stay in the future, stay in the present, and look towards the future and all we do. And that includes the church. We can't go back and go, oh, so-and-so did this, or we've always done it that way is another famous term. And we have to say, this is the present. What are we doing today, and how do we live today? And Jesus had to come to this earth as a babe to make us new. And Paul is talking to the Ephesians here. He wanted them to be transformed. They knew their ways, the old ways. And he says, I want you to now become transformed. I want to conform you into being like Jesus Christ. And these are the ways that you can do that. To speak the truth, be angry without sinning, work honestly, share with the needy, build one another up, giving grace, be kind to one another, forgive one another, and live in love. And then he goes on, Paul goes on into Ephesians and says, but do not do these things. He says, therefore, do not do these things. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't let the sun set on our anger. We should not make room for the devil. We should not steal. We shouldn't engage in evil talk. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be bitter and wrathful, angry, quarreling, slanderous, or malicious. Things that we should not do. Now, I've heard people say, and probably I've done it, well, I know I've done it, tell that little white lie. It's just a little white lie. It's not a full lie. Yes, it is. Right? We're not to lie. So then he says, don't let the sun set on our anger. We've talked about that. We can't make room for the devil. We aren't to steal. And then this one, I always have to think about it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean, to grieve the Holy Spirit? I'm thinking as I've lost loved ones, grieving, I mourn. Well, that's not exactly what he's talking about. I'm not mourning the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit means to go against what God has wanting us to do, and that grieves him. We are not to do something that will grieve God, and so we will grieve the Holy Spirit if we're doing these things, lying and stealing, cheating, you know, being malicious, all those things. We are not to do, because we will grieve God. We will grieve the Holy Spirit. And it was like, oh, I get that. Jesus Christ gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what we need to do to guide and lead us in our life. So we should not go against the Holy Spirit. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I want to go, Paul, why didn't you just say that? Why didn't you just say I shouldn't go up against the Holy Spirit? Because then I wouldn't have had to look up and I wouldn't have had to thought about it. Grieve. We don't want, you know, and we say there's no tears in heaven. Sometimes I think God cries. I think God is miserable when we do things that doesn't please him. And that's the other part of this. If we're not pleasing God, we're not pleasing Jesus Christ, we're also not pleasing the Holy Spirit. He wants us to live a pure and righteous life. It sounds so simple, and it really is. The commandment is there to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors. And if we do those two things, we're also following what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. We're not doing these things. It sounds so easy, but we're human beings. We're human beings that make mistakes. We're human beings that will never, ever be perfect, because there's only one person that is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. However, in the United Methodist Church, we also talk about grace, and we talk about moving on towards perfection, that we are trying our hardest to do what is right, to be perfect in God's eyes. The title of my sermon today was Imitate Christ. How can we, you and I, as a church, as Christians, imitate who Christ is? And that is by loving one another, by giving grace. Now, John Wesley talked about three different kinds of grace. We talked at that membership class this last week. We'll have a new member joining this next Sunday in our church. There's three kinds of graces. Prevenient grace is a grace that woos us before we even know who God is. When we're young, or maybe even as an adult, but we haven't accepted Christ yet into our life as Lord and Savior, God is wooing us in that spirit of prevenient grace, giving us grace because we don't know. And then there's what we call justifying grace. Justifying grace is when we are made righteous at the moment that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're made pure and holy at that moment. Justified. Made right with God. And after we accept God as our Lord and Savior, then the rest of our life we have what we call sanctifying grace. Giving us a grace that we can live by, not that we deserve it, and not that we can earn it. We can't clean the church enough. We can't preach enough. We can't do every ministry good enough to earn God's grace. It's a gift that is given to us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God is giving it to us. And so as God is giving us this grace through his love, should we not give others that grace as well? Are you with me? God is giving us his love. We give others his love. If God is giving us his forgiveness, we give others forgiveness. If God is giving us his grace, we give others grace. And so when people make mistakes, we need to say we still love them, we forgive them, and we give them grace. Because God wants us to be transformed, to be made new. And so even today, if we say, yes, that's what we want, and we do everything right today, tomorrow or next week, we may be going backwards again, right? And so we have to come again to God and say, God, help me. And we need to be in prayer. Help me to be that new creature that you want me to be. And so what Paul says in here is, follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Are we trying to live our life the best that we can? Or are we grieving the Holy Spirit? Not doing what God desires us to do. We want to try to imitate God and love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We want to imitate him. I'm thinking of the children that just went downstairs. I'm kind of looking at this section because it's kind of the parent section. Do you cannot want your kids to do right from wrong? And even all of us that have had kids, right? We want our kids to do right from wrong. Yes. We want our grandkids to do right from wrong. Yes. God also wants us. We are all beloved children of God. And he wants each one of us to do what he's asked us to do. Are you with me? Good. So, how do we do that at Sandusky First United Methodist Church? How do we follow and be Christ-like to one another? As I was reading some of these do's and don'ts, I thought about engaging in evil talk was one of them. We can't talk about one another. We can't gossip. Does that help build up the church? No. So, making room for the devil, being bitter, wrathful, angry, quarreling, slanderous, malicious, all of those are ugly traits, aren't they? And none of us want to be like that. And you go and you look at the things we're supposed to do is speak the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? You see some of you shaking your heads, yes. Sometimes, but there's ways to say the truth. There's ways to say the truth in a loving manner, and there's ways to say the truth in a way that is the truth, but we don't want to offend or hurt anyone, especially in the church, right? Sometimes, in the past, we look backwards, we maybe have done it the wrong way. I'm guilty, right? I'm just as guilty as you are. I've done it the wrong way. I went to have my one-on-one with my DS, which is the district superintendent, who is my boss. And every year, every pastor, every summer has to go and talk with their boss and say, how's it going? And one of the questions is, what have you learned? What have you learned that you've grown from? All right? And part of that is all human beings. We've all learned and grown. So I told him where I thought I was and said, you know what? I've grown from that. I learned from that. I should not have done that. And I know better. And so, yeah. Now as I'm here at Sandusky First, I believe I can do, and you go on here. So what can the church do? One of the other things we talked about is vision and mission of the church. And I have to be honest, of course, I've only been here a little over a month, maybe 6 weeks now, I haven't really counted, is what is our vision of the church and what is our mission of the church? And I said, well, I've already told them the mission, which is the United Methodist mission, is to go, therefore, and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So that's going to be our mission. I haven't really brought you on deck on that, so forgive me. And so we need to have those conversations of what is our mission. But he asked me, what is their vision? And I said, I don't know. I'm not sure we have one. And so if we don't have a vision of the church, how can we do these things and do them properly and do them the way that pleases God if we are here? Because it's just like being on a journey. How many of you have taken vacations? Raise your hand. You all taking vacations? Have you taken a map or said, we're going to go here and this is how we're going to get there? Made reservations, had to have hotel rooms or camp out, right? You have to figure out what you're going to do to get where you're going, right? Well, the church needs to do that too. If we don't have a vision, and maybe you do and I just don't know it, but if we don't have a vision, how are we going to get there? So we can't even do some of these steps because we don't know how to get there. We can be kind together, but is that going to grow the church? We can love each other and forgive each other, but is that going to grow the church? We have to become very intentional on how and who we are as a church, because we talked about being the unity of Christ's body, even in the community. So where is this church going? And how are we going to get there? And so those are some of the conversations I had this week with my boss, and I need to have conversations with you, especially as leaders in the church, but hopefully even as the whole church. What does it look like to be the church, and where are we going? And Monica's already said she'd help me in some long-range visioning, but we have to know what the vision is first. So we're going to be coming up to a time this fall where we're going to have nominations. Nominations is part of who we have as leaders in the church. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you will pray for God to show us who's going to be the leaders of this church, because as we put these leaders together in the church, then those leaders are going to show and work together to make that vision, to be able to show us that vision and help lead us in that vision. So here we're trying to show God how we can be a church personally, individually, and as a church, to do the right things and not the wrong things, in order or so that or therefore that we can go in a direction that God is leading this church. Amen. So I want you to all pray and say, where are we going to be as a church? And as the fall kicks off, there's going to be ministry that's going to be happening here. And we're going to, I pray, we're going to bring others into the community. We're going to be out in the community. We may be busy. Did you hear me? We may be busy. And we're going to do it with love and grace, as we move together as a body of Christ at Sandusky First United Methodist Church. I need your prayers. The leaders need your prayers. But the church needs your prayers. Because it's already August, what, 12th? Whew, time is flying by. And school is starting soon. And so we're going to be coming together as a body to prepare for our fall season. And I can already tell you right now, also with my boss, October 21st is our church conference. Mark your calendars. There's no excuse you can't be there. You were told in August. It's a Sunday night, 5 to 6 p.m., October 21st. Mark your calendars. I expect to see all of you there. Okay? So, as I told the children today, we know right from wrong. Can we work together to do the right thing for the right purpose for Jesus Christ? And one, as I close with this, I want to share his words. I have to just put my finger on it. Because he's doing this, we're doing this, not to grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we were sealed for the last day of redemption. We are doing all of this, behaviors, ministry, because God has given us the promise and hope of eternal life. But the kingdom of God is still here on earth, and we need to work not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to please God and worship and praise his name. So may we all think about what we can do and how we can do it together to honor and praise God and give him glory. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have sealed each one of us in redemption as believers in Jesus Christ. We pray for those who do not know you, that we may come and touch with them, that we can share a life with them, to be able to give them your grace and love and the good news that Jesus Christ died and rose again for all of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Heavenly Father, we give to you out of our love, out of our grace that you have given to us, all that we have. Accept these gifts that they may be used for the kingdom here on earth and to honor you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's sing our closing song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. This week, be kind to one another, showing love in God's grace, and go with His love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And if I could see Oren and Gayla and Bev and Karen just for a second, I would appreciate it. Everybody else, I hope that you go outside and look at the volcanoes.